Welcome to Chapter 38, Dick Bergeron. This could be also entitled An Example of a Profile in Courage. This story begins with a night that Kathy and I were up at our favorite restaurant, the Kobe. And I described, anybody who's been in a Japanese restaurant, two seats, four in the middle, and then two at the other end. Anyway, Kathy and I were sitting there. We were first ones to get to this particular table. We were sitting at the end. And out of the blue, the hostess comes in and says, Jimmy, she says, I have this person in the lobby with a serious medical issue and his group. Would you mind if they sat here at with your table? I said, you know, I really would. You know, that's not how I want to spend Saturday night, you know, feeling guilty and watching somebody struggle. So I really would mind. So with that, she proceeded to bring them to the table. And down at the other end, the other two, was a nurse who wound up feeding this gentleman. And he was in a wheelchair with a mask. And he had a driver and he had a couple other people with him. So it was that group and Kathy and myself. And the first half of the night, you know, I mean, I'm watching them take care of this gentleman, and it was a downer, I mean, to be honest. So about halfway through the night, I kind of had enough of this, and I decided, you know what, you know, I wasn't comfortable, and so I just started to have a conversation with him, told him a couple Irish jokes, I had a couple more sakis, and then we wound up, you know, having a decent night. He left, and nothing from that. About 6 months later, Kathy and I are back at the Kobe. Hostess comes in and says to me, Jimmy, your friend's here. I said, my friend? Yeah, your friend in a wheelchair. I said, I don't have any friends in a wheelchair. And then she just walked away. Sure enough, back in he comes. Same bat time, same bat channel. So I didn't care. I said to him, I said, you know what? First time they asked me if I mind if you sat with me, I said, yeah, I mind. Now you're my friend. So I guess I have to sit with you. We had a really good time that night. Turns out he has ALS, the Lou Gehrig's disease. And boy, that's a bad one. That is really a bad one. And I'll never forget, he said something that really sends chills up my spine. He said, you know, I was you 5 years ago. So anyway, we had a good time, and, you know, it was just fun. You know, I mean, I got over, you know, the issue of whatever my issues were, and we decided, he said, listen, how about we go out, you know, somewhere else? So we decided we're going to go to the Dillertown Inn. The Dillertown Inn is, just, as I mentioned in a previous chapter, it's a circa 1750, really, really rustic place, quiet, candles, dark, fireplace, that type of thing. So I get there first, and I tell the owner, I said, listen, I said, you know, I have somebody coming here that, you know, has some real serious medical issues, and he has his own crew with him, and, you know, maybe you might want to, you know, put us somewhere, you know, private, you know, so not with the others in the main dining room or anything. So anyway, we're at the bar, and sure enough, he comes in. I'll never forget this. He had a striped jacket and plaid pants. Now, this is a small, intimate place, but I just couldn't help but saying, here's Pee Wee Herman in drag. And he just started laughing. We're at the bar, and he said something that I never forgot. He motioned to me to lean over. He whispered something in my ear. And he says to me, I love it when you go crazy. I thought to myself, does anybody really need to encourage me? So anyway, when it's time to get seated, we had this private room. And he's at one end of the table, I'm at the other, and there's about a dozen people with us. So he says to me, he says, Jimmy, you must have a lot of drag here and know the right people, he said, to get a private room. I said, Dick, I appreciate, you know, that comment. I said, but I have to really tell you why we have a private room. I said, the people that own this place, they don't want me in the general population. So I always have a private room. They want me off in the corner somewhere. He got a good chuckle over that. But anyway, I got to know him over the next year or so. It turns out that he was one of the very first people to develop the software that allows people to talk to a computer and give instructions. He was kind of amazing, and he obviously was a successful, you know, he had money, obviously. He had a whole crew of people with him. But then, about a year and a half later, my daughter tells me that he had called and that he wanted to go out to dinner back at the Kobe, but he couldn't eat anymore. The disease was, he was in the final stages. I thought to myself, somebody wants to go to dinner with me and they can't eat, you know, I got to show up. I mean, and I realized it would be the last time. So I decided this is going to be the last time I'm going to leave him. We're going to make this a fun night. So I had just gotten back from a cruise with one of our medical people, Dr. Lee Cohen, who was part of the Philadelphia Eagles medical staff. He was fun. He and I went on a three-day cruise to Nassau from Miami. I've never been on a cruise before, never have been since. But we just had a good time. And I get a hold of Dr. Cohen. I said, you know what? Because he did not know Dick at the time, never met him. I said, listen, I explained the circumstance. I said, why don't you come up with me? Let's tell him what happened in the cruise. So he was all for that. He was just a good guy, Dr. Cohen, and smart, but just outgoing, you know, didn't take himself serious. And, you know, obviously to be on a medical staff of a professional football team, you're at the top of your game, pardon the pun. But anyway, so we go to the Kobe. I get there early. I tell the people that run it, I said, listen, you're going to need to put us somewhere, and it wasn't that big, in a corner, because it's going to be loud. It's going to be out of control, because this probably is the last time we're going to see Dick. So they put us in the corner, and we had a couple of tables, a lot of people, 10 or 12, I don't know. Anyway, he comes in, and you could tell he was failing. So I'm going to share with you a story and a reaction that I've never seen before and I've never seen since. So I proceed to tell him, and Dr. Cohen was there reinforcing the, you know, his perspective of it. We went on this cruise, and on the cruise, they had this newlywed game. I mean, it's like auditorium or whatever, like seats, like 300. So, and we, first they had like races and things, and then they announced they were going to have a newlywed game, you know, after an intermission or whatever. So I told Dr. Cohen, go up and get us some ice cream, you know, and, you know, because I had plans for him. I didn't want to tell him. So he goes up, and I said, I'll join you. And I said, you know. So he leaves, and I go up to this woman who's running this newlywed game, and this is a long time ago. I said, listen, I want to, you know, I want to sign up for this newlywed game. Oh, great. What's your spouse's name? I said, well, it's a guy, it's a male. And, you know, obviously this is even before it was politically correct, but she was, a little nervous. So I just said, you know, it's just, you know, I don't know. He's my spouse. So she signed us up. So I go up to the, to the food court on the deck on the ship, and I was eating ice cream. And I said, listen, I signed this up, for the newlywed game. He said, you know what? I'd do a lot of things, you know, for you. He said, some things, you know, you're pushing the envelope, but he says, I'm not going up on the stage. I'm not playing no newlywed game with you. I said, look, I said, you can be the guy. Anyway, Dick Bergeron laughed so hard at this that a tear was rolling down his cheek and it froze on his face. Literally froze on his face. And Dr. Cohen said, you better turn that oxygen down because it's too cold in here for you. I'll never forget that. On the way home, I said, you know, Lee, that was his first name. I said, neither one of us really know if there's a hereafter. And I don't know if you can have a marker in the hereafter. But if there's such a thing as a marker in the hereafter, you and I got one tonight. Because we made this guy laugh until the tear froze. Anyway, he died a short while later. And I go up to the viewing. And one of the stories I had told him along the way was a baboon story. And I'll never forget, his wife had her back to me over the casket when I walked up. And I said, hello. She turned around, didn't say hi, Jimmy, didn't say anything, said, the baboon story. She said, he talked about that ever since you told him that. So anyway, that's my story about Dick Bergeron. Good guy, fought some serious, and overcame, and really was in it to the end. I mean, never gave up. You have to respect somebody like that because that disease. Oh, by the way, one other thing. Curt Schilling, if you remember, in the World Series, had that bloody sock and it had that ALS thing, the mention of it. That was he and Dick Bergeron had hooked up. That's when Curt Schilling got involved with the ALS Foundation. And also, Dick was the longest living American with ALS. I believe he lived 14 years with it. I can't imagine. But anyway, thank you for listening. Next up, a limo story like none other.